Hello again, everyone, and welcome to another edition of KHOI Community Radio's Capital Week, your listening post for politics, Iowa style, where we explore and analyze who's been making news in and around the state capital, what that news is, and what it all means. We are glad you're with us. I'm Dennis Hart, joined as always by my partner in politics, Laura Bellin of the blog site Leading Heartland. Laura, here we go again. Welcome.
Good to talk with you, Dennis.
Laura, our focus here on this program obviously is Iowa politics, but I think we have to acknowledge that the big story around the state last week and around the world was the death of Queen Elizabeth II of Britain. 96 years old when she passed away at Balmoral Castle. Her reign began more than 70 years ago, by far the longest tenure of any British monarch. Iowa Governor Kim Reynolds issued a statement saying the Queen was, in the governor's words, a remarkable and steadfast woman who fought side by side with the U.S. through some of the free world's most trying times. I will always admire her fortitude, love of freedom, and tenacity that has inspired other women in leadership. I think that's a sentiment that's universally accepted.
And Queen Elizabeth had very warm feelings toward the United States. She visited the United States several times. And I had forgotten this. My husband reminded me. We were living in London at the time of the 9/11 attacks, and the Queen ordered that during the changing of the guard that they play the American national anthem, which was a huge break with tradition. But just she wanted to pay her respects for what happened. And when she visited several years later, she visited New York. She did go to the 9/11 site. Of course, those attacks were a huge terror event they were a huge event in Britain because 67 UK citizens were also killed that day. But the relationship between the US and the UK was strong throughout her reign.
She was a remarkable woman, becoming queen very early in her life, in her early 20s, when her father, King George VI, passed away. And she was in Kenya with her husband, Philip, and he told her of the news. She was a very young lady, and we have seen her grow from a beautiful young lady to a middle-aged woman to an older woman, and she did it all with grace, very much grace.
And when she was a child, she wasn't expected to become the queen. Her uncle was the king. Her father was not first in line of succession, but her uncle abdicated so that he could marry a divorced American woman. And that is when King George VI became king, and that is when Queen Elizabeth was in line to be the monarch. But she wasn't really raised to be the monarch.
Right. She's going to be, her funeral will be next Monday at Westminster Abbey. You and I have both been to Westminster Abbey. It's a gorgeous cathedral that goes back 1,000 years or so. It's going to be highly emotional. President and Mrs. Biden will be there, other world leaders. You cannot watch that, I think, without having tears in your own eyes. I know I will have them.
And the Queen spent time, I think the only American president she didn't meet with face to face was Lyndon Johnson during her reign. She and Barack Obama had warm feelings toward her. I think he even visited her even after he was president, which is unusual.
We shall not see her like again, and we'll be talking about her funeral, I think, next Monday on this broadcast. Mm-hmm. All right, Governor Reynolds issued a statement about the Queen, but she also did, the governor, a whole lot of other things this past week. First of all, she agreed to at least one debate in the campaign to become Iowa's next governor. She has accepted an invitation to debate Democratic opponent Deidre DeGeer on Iowa PBS live on Monday night, October 17th at 7 o'clock. So she agreed to one debate. Did you have any doubt that she would not debate?
There were a few questions about it. She did debate Fred Hubbell three times during the 2018 campaign, but that was perceived to be a very tight race, and she was in a little bit of trouble, reportedly behind in Republican polling. Deidre DeGeer wanted more debates. She wanted three or four debates, and there was a question of whether the governor would even agree to one. But yes, she did. I think that she didn't want the optics of refusing to debate at all.
Right. The governor also released her first television ad of her reelection campaign last week. It's called Today. And in contrast, policy she signed into law in Iowa with national politics. And in the end, it says, here in Iowa, America still works. It's a feel-good ad, never mentions Deidre DeGeer, doesn't show the governor. It's very similar to the one that we saw in 1984 that Ronald Reagan ran called Morning in America. It evokes the same things.
Yes, I expect now, after seeing that ad, I expect that the governor will probably release several ads with that kind of atmosphere, and she probably won't appear in her own ads until a little bit later in the campaign. The Republicans are walking a tightrope a little bit, because most of their candidates for Congress are bashing the Biden administration policies and saying Iowans are really hurting, Iowans are suffering, inflation is terrible, gas prices are terrible, and it's so hard. And so the governor running for reelection needs to make the case that things are actually going very well. So I thought that that ad, it was a balancing act, that the idea that, well, here in Iowa, things are working. And I think that, for instance, Zach Nunn might not pick up that call, because his whole message is that things aren't working for Iowans and we need to put Republicans back in charge in Congress.
Democratic gubernatorial candidate Deidre Geer has not yet released a TV ad. How indicative is that, Laura, of her campaign problems?
Well, she's struggled with fundraising this year, and I expect that she probably won't be advertising on television until closer to the election. The early voting, one advantage that she has is that the early voting period starts much later now because of the Republican changes to the election law that we've talked about. It used to be that Iowans could start voting in late September, but Iowans won't be able to start voting until October 19th. So I would expect that Deidre Geer will have some radio and TV advertising up by that time, but maybe not much in September.
Right. And the latest register poll showed her trailing the governor by 17 points in the race for governor. So she really needs something that at this moment is not apparent to get her back in there.
Well, and that was a bit of a strange poll, because it really showed that Deidre DeGeer is not very well known. Kim Reynolds was ahead by 48% to 31%. So it was a 17 point lead, but it's not the same as a 17 point lead when the incumbent is at 55 or 60%. So the Kim Reynolds number at 48%, I think, symbolized that their show, it indicated that she hasn't consolidated the mass public, but Deidre DeGeer also hasn't consolidated, maybe hasn't even consolidated the Democratic base, because being at 31%, that was fairly low.
One more note on the governor before we move on to the congressional races. She signed a joint letter today with 21 other Republican governors opposing President Biden's student loan plan.
Yes, this letter that the governor signed, it hit a lot of the same talking points that Republicans had said immediately after the plan was announced in late August, that this is unfair to people who didn't borrow for college or didn't go to college. It claimed that it's going to cost other taxpayers money. I haven't seen any evidence that anybody else is going to have to pay more money that because these loans won't be paid back. I mean, the government has already extended the loans. So forgiving the debt doesn't mean that other people have to pick up the tab. It just means that the government's not going to be collecting that money. But in any case, yes, arguing that this won't address rising college costs. And that's a little bit of a tricky issue for the governor as well, because the Regents universities in Iowa have been raising tuition several years in recent years, several times, because the state budget has not kept pace with the rising costs and the inflation at the state universities. And if you look at over the scope of the last 40 years, state appropriations used to cover the vast majority, 3/4 of the state universities' budgets in Iowa. And now state funding only accounts for about 31% of the state university's budget. So yes, tuition has gone up to make up the difference for Iowa State and Iowa and the University of Northern Iowa.
In fact, the Regents later this week, are going to ask the state for more money for the universities.
Yes. I mean, and that's going to be a tough sell if the Republicans keep control of the legislature, which they're favored to do. And one of the issues is that Republicans don't hold any of the legislative districts that cover any of the state universities. So there's a perception among some Republicans in their caucus that they might like the Iowa Hawkeyes or the ISU Cyclones, but they don't love the college towns, and they don't feel that those are their voters, and they're not particularly generous in wanting to allocate more money. I mean, the universities lost a lot of funding, and they are hit with the same rising costs that many institutions in the economy are facing. So they are going to have to pick up the slack somewhere. And if it's not coming through state funding, more likely than not, it's going to be coming through more tuition increases.
All right, let's get into the congressional races. Debates in the first district. A debate between GOP incumbent first district Congresswoman Marionette Miller Meeks and Democratic challenger Christina Bohannon, set for Monday, September 26th at 7 p.m. on Iowa Press and PBS. This is Christina Bohannon's perhaps best chance to come after Marionette Miller Meeks.
Yes, she is. Christina Bohannon is a law professor at the University of Iowa. She's very experienced as a public speaker. She was very comfortable when she was serving in the legislature, speaking on the House floor. So I expect that she's going to come prepared. Miller Meeks has also a lot of experience with debates. She actually ran for Congress. She was elected in 2020 on her fourth attempt. So she had debated opponents many times. And I want to mention also that if anybody can't watch that debate on September 26th at 7 p.m., Iowa PBS is going to have all of those debate videos online so people can watch them later.
In fact, as you know, if they are to watch that, they would not be listening to us on this radio station at that hour. So I would recommend they watch it later on PBS, wouldn't you?
Right. Or they can watch it on PBS and listen to our show later on h4fm.org.
Yeah. Or watch the debate, but have the audio down and just listen to us instead. All right. So both Miller Meeks and Bohannon, we're having fun here tonight, folks, have said they're going to spend a whole lot of money on TV ads. Okay. And Miller Meeks released her first TV ad last week. In it, she says, you deserve someone in Congress who knows your life and fights your fight. That's what I do. So she comes out with a positive ad.
Yes. And I thought that it was important for her that the backdrop for this ad was the University of Iowa. The first district covers most of southwestern Iowa. The largest county is Scott County, which contains the Iowa side of the Quad Cities. And the second largest county is Johnson County. That's the Iowa City area and University of Iowa campus. And Marionette Miller Meeks grew up in Texas. She came to Iowa on a residency. She's an ophthalmologist. The University of Iowa Medical School has an excellent ophthalmology program, by the way. And she stayed in Iowa. So I think it's important for her to hold down Christina Bohannon's margins a little bit in Johnson County. In 2020, when Miller Meeks was elected by 6 votes out of 394,000 casts, she got about 1,000 more votes in Johnson County than Donald Trump did. And I think that's going to be important for her. And so I thought that the optics for Miller Meeks of having the University of Iowa and those scenes in the background in her ad were important. I expect that we'll probably see more of Iowa City in her ads as the election approaches.
Her campaign says she's going to spend a couple of $1 million on campaign ad buys. Bohannon's campaign says she's going to spend nearly as much, $1.7 million. She released her first ad in late August. That one talked about her roots. But in this new one last week, she focuses on rising prices, saying prices keep going up and my opponent won't do anything about it. And she also uses China as a punching bag, China's being used as a punching bag in several campaigns.
Yes, I want to say first on the campaign fundraising, Miller Meeks has never been the strongest fundraiser, but she's very frugal with her campaign spending, and she has managed her campaign war chest really well. So she's got a lot of money. She basically has about as much money to spend on ads as Ashley Hinson, even though she's raised a lot less money. But Bohannon, as a first-time candidate for Congress, she has done very well with the fundraising, and to be able to spend about $1.7 million on ads, I think that's important. And I noticed when I was going through radio files that Bohannon's campaign has reserved a lot of radio time all over Southeast Iowa. So I think that's going to be interesting. I'm going to keep an eye on her radio ads. But that television ad was very shrewd by Bohannon, because one of the main talking points for Republicans is that Joe Biden and the Democrats, they spent too much money, and that's what drove up inflation. So in this ad, Christina Bohannon talked about rising prices, which is a big issue on people's minds. It was filmed in a grocery store. Everyone can see that the price is going up whenever they buy groceries. But she's flipped the script on it to say, my opponent won't do anything about it. And she talks about, as you say, China's unfair trade practices, oil companies price gouging people, and corporations jacking up prices, so that she's giving viewers an alternate narrative that it's not Joe Biden and the big spending Democrats. It's the fact that corporations are jacking up the prices. And I think that it may work in her favor a little bit that the inflation seems to be coming down. Certainly gas prices are way down compared to what they were in June. But I think every Democrat on the ballot is hoping that the prices will come down more. But I thought that was a very shrewd message for Christina Bohannon in that ad.
And you were also, you reported this week that Miller Meeks had spent more than $63,000 from her office budget to advertise on at least 8 Iowa radio stations. That's somewhat unusual.
It was unusual for me. I had never heard an officially funded radio ad from a member of Congress. I was in my car on Labor Day and I heard this ad on one of the Des Moines-based radio stations. And I thought, what's going on here? So I went, the Federal Communications Commission has files where you can go and look up any political advertising on any radio station. It's pretty tedious, but I went through a lot of political files and I found out that Marionette Miller Meeks was really spending quite a lot of money on this ad buy. And then when I went back and looked at her quarterly reports on her office budget, she was very frugal with the money. She didn't spend a lot of money on what they call franking expenses. That's the officially funded mass communications, the mail and the other advertising. She didn't spend as much as the other Iowans in Congress during 2021, but she's making up for it this year.
We're about to talk about the second district debate that was set, but first, there's no debate here. It is 16 after the hour, wherever you're listening to us, and you are in tune with KHUI Radio's Capital Week, your one-stop source for everything political going on in Iowa. I'm Dennis Hart with Laura Bellin. We're here every week at this time to talk politics Iowa style, how it's affecting all of us. Second district debate, GOP incumbent Congresswoman Ashley Hinson, Democratic opponent Liz Mathis have agreed to debate. Iowa PBS is going to host it on Tuesday night, October 18th at 7 p.m. This should be an absolute barn burner. Both of them, former television people, they know how to talk. They know how to debate. Here we go.
Absolutely. And Ashley Hinson, during her 2020 race against the then Democratic incumbent, Abby Finkenauer, she wanted more debates. They only debated one time. And Ashley Hinson, her campaign even had somebody in a chicken suit sometimes showing up at Abby Finkenauer's event. She wanted as many debates as possible because, as you say, she is very comfortable on television. And she does a lot of television interviews, including national channels, Fox News, and some Newsmax. And Liz Mathis, of course, was on TV for many years. So they are going to be polished and prepared. I don't think it's going to be very easy for either of them to wrong foot the other in that debate.
Yeah, it should be quite entertaining. And speaking of entertaining, Hinson released her first TV ad last week, touting veterans in that ad, part of a more than 2 million ad buy that she's going to make between now and Election Day. And again, this was a positive ad.
It was a positive ad. And again, it was interesting that it didn't feature Ashley Hinson. She wasn't speaking to the camera. I do expect that she'll feature more prominently in some of the later ads. But the topic that they were discussing was making mental health care more accessible for veterans. They didn't specify the bill, but I believe the bill that they're referring to is the Sergeant Ketchum Rural Veterans Mental Health Act, which was passed last year. All of the Iowans in Congress supported that. It was actually something that Dave Lopsak tried to do several times when he was in Congress. The Sergeant Brendan Ketchum was in his district and was not able to get the care that he needed and ended up taking his own life. So this is a bill that it had a lot of bipartisan support in the House. It ended up passing the Senate by unanimous consent. And of course, President Biden signed it into law that would make it easier for people, veterans in rural areas, and that would include the entire state of Iowa under the definition of this law, would be considered a rural area, to try to give them more access. So I thought that starting on that positive note and starting with a testimonial from a veteran was a very smart move for Hinson. I expect we'll probably see more testimonial type ads before she takes a starring role in the ad closer to the election.
And briefly, Liz Mathis had already released her first ad. It was a commercial showing her at various stages of her television career to reintroduce people to who she was and who she is.
Yes, and Liz Mathis is very well known. Most of the counties in that second district covering Northeast Iowa are in the Cedar Rapids, Waterloo, Liz Mathis is well known. I think that Liz Mathis, I do expect to see some kind of negative advertising coming soon. But for her to start on that introductory note and a biographical note, I thought made a lot of sense for her.
Let's zoom into the third congressional district where Democratic incumbent Cindy Axne going to have a televised debate with Republican challenger Zach Nunn. This one not on Iowa PBS. It's on KCCI-TV, channel 8 in Des Moines, on Thursday, October 6th at 7 o'clock, going to take place at the Iowa State Historical Building in Des Moines. Okay, this race is basically, by most handicappers, indicated as leaning Republican. It's probably going to be very close. And again, this is going to be potentially a heck of a barn burner of a debate.
And I noticed that Inside Elections, one of the forecasters actually moved it back to toss-up, I think in response to what they've seen in the polling since the Supreme Court overturned the Roe v. Wade precedent. But in any case, this is perceived to be one of the most competitive House races in the country. Zach Nunn, he's, even though he hasn't had quite as much experience on TV, he's quite well-spoken. Cindy Axne is a tenacious campaigner. She did well in her debates against David Young in 2018 and 2020. So yes, I think this will be a spirited exchange. And again, I expect a lot of sharp comments from both sides. You mentioned this is going to be Thursday, October 6th on KCCI. That same night, Thursday, October 6th, on Iowa Press, the Senate candidates, Chuck Grassley and Mike Franken, are going to be debating. So again, it will be important for voters to check out the videos later. I'm sure the videos will be available online after the debates.
And both Axne and Nunn have already released TV ads. Nunn's was about introducing him as a person you can trust. Now, Axne, and this is interesting, has run attack ads already against Nunn. And we had speculated that maybe she had some internal polling showing it's really close.
Yes, I definitely. An incumbent doesn't come out with negative ads early, usually if they are not a little bit worried. I think also that was reflecting a reality that as of this summer, Cindy Axne had way more money in the bank than Zach Nunn. And so that's an advantage that incumbents often have if they can try to define the opponent who's less well-known, if they can try to define him before he gets up on the air. And I think that was part of the strategy. Cindy Axne has run also a positive ad talking about her own bipartisan work and working with Chuck Grassley. And again, I heard some Democrats grumbling about that ad, that they didn't feel that Cindy Axne needed to say so many nice things about Chuck Grassley.
All right, let's talk about the 4th District debate. Oh, wait, there is going to be no 4th District debate because Republican incumbent Congressman Randy Feenstra of the 4th District has declined the Iowa PBS invitation to debate Democratic challenger Ryan Melton. Now, there's no reason, there's no law that says candidates must debate, but Feenstra has given no reason for this. Why do you think he's not going to be willing to debate Ryan Melton, who everybody really thinks has very little chance?
I really don't know. Randy Feenstra did debate his GOP primary opponents in 2020. He debated J.D. Shulton in the general election. Of course, J.D. Shulton was running a more well-funded campaign. Ryan Melton's raised about $10,000 and is not in a position to compete on television and radio in the same way that J.D. Shulton did. But I just think as a sign of respect for the process, usually candidates want to agree to at least one debate. And it's not a great look to refuse. The Feenstra campaign spokesperson didn't really have a good reason when the Sioux City Journal reporter Jared McNett asked about declining the Iowa PBS invitation. He said, Feenstra's focused on doing the job he was elected to do. Well, I mean, everybody, incumbents are always doing the job they're elected to do, but nobody says they don't have time to debate. So I thought it was strange, and I don't know, maybe he just doesn't want to be put on the spot about some of the questions that might come up, like would he support any exceptions in an abortion ban, or does he think that Joe Biden legitimately won the 2020 election? There are questions like that that would probably come up in a debate where either way he answers, he's either on the wrong side of mainstream opinion or he's on the wrong side with a Republican base.
Well, you still have a few minutes to talk about new campaign ads. Let's go into the U.S. senatorial race where Chuck Grassley, the incumbent running for, I believe, his 93rd term. No, that's he's going to be 89 years old. I always get those confused. Okay. He released an ad, you know, I'm kidding, Senator, released a digital campaign ad last week accusing his opponent, Mike Franken, a Navy veteran, of lying to superior officers while he, Franken, was in the Navy. Okay, that's a serious charge. It's an attack ad. Franken's campaign spokesman says Grassley's doing it because he's running scared. What do you think?
Well, this is the second negative ad that Chuck Grassley has run about Mike Franken without running. Usually at this point in a campaign, Chuck Grassley is running ads showing himself with the lawnmowers at his farm. So it is different. This is a different playbook that we're seeing from Chuck Grassley. And you have to believe that he is a little bit worried because he's trying to drive up Mike Franken's negatives. This, the first ad talked about Mike Franken supposedly disrespecting rural Iowa. The second ad, this is a classic trick where it's opened with a clip from Mike Franken's ad where he said, "I know something about speaking truth to power." And then they claim they have a clip of Mike Franken saying that when he was asked to estimate the cost of a military operation in Burundi, he inflated the cost quite a bit. And he told a journalist later that the reason why he inflated the cost is because he was worried that it would be a situation where the U.S. wouldn't easily be able to get their troops out of Burundi. Again, it's like, as with a lot of campaign ads, it takes longer for the candidate to explain than it does to make the charge in the ad.
Right. We need our breaking news sounder for this one. Oh, wait, we don't have a breaking news sounder, but Mike Franken released his own new TV ad this afternoon. What does this one say?
So this is a combination of a positive and a negative spot. It starts out with Mike Franken saying that he grew up on a small farm at the time when small farms could make it, had a chance to make it, had some pictures of him on his family farm in Sioux County. And then he goes into the fact that since Chuck Grassley took office, Iowa's lost half its farms. He talks about Chuck Grassley taking money from big ag interests and not helping the small farms. And then he says, in the end, he closes on a positive note that he won't take any money from corporate special interests. So it's a combination. It's a sort of positive, negative, positive. And I've seen in some of the communications research that that tends to go over better with voters when there's a combination of positive and negative messages rather than the entire ad being negative.
Right. Okay, let's move on to the GOP Attorneys General Group, which gave Brenna Byrd, and she's running against Democratic Attorney General Tom Miller in the fall election, they gave her $1 million to run against him, and that's a big deal, and she's well-funded on this one.
And they funded her campaign pretty well in 2010, and they gave her some money this spring, but this is the reason why, when we talked about this race months ago, I mentioned that it's possible that these outside groups, the Republican Attorney General's Association, really raises a lot of money. And this is going to be quite a race. Tom Miller has probably never been this seriously threatened in his reelection. But he is also raising more money than he has in his past reelection bids. He's probably going to be outspent, but he should be able, I expect within the next few weeks, we're going to probably see the first radio or TV ads from Tom Miller as well.
And this is going to be a heck of a race. Tom Miller running for his 11th term in office, Brenna Byrd running. They were on Iowa PBS this past Friday, and they talked about abortion, among other things. She said, no matter what happens with Iowa's abortion law, no woman who has an abortion would face criminal charges, but doctors who perform those abortions would face punishment from the state medicine board. Meanwhile, Miller says he thinks the U.S. Supreme Court made a mistake in overturning Roe v. Wade. Really divergent views here, and it could well get a little bitter here.
Yes, and she accused him of not doing his job because he's not defending the 2018 abortion ban in court, and the governor had to retain private attorneys. He didn't defend it the first time after it was passed, and he's not defending it now that the governor's trying to bring it back. And he explained that it's very rare. I mean, and he's had a long career, and it's very rare that he has refused to defend a state law in court. It's only happened a handful of times, but this is one where he just doesn't think it's constitutional. Now, I will say that for Brenna Byrd to focus on the fact that no woman who has an abortion would face criminal charges is not really the issue, because if doctors are potentially facing charges or worried about losing their licenses, that is going to affect the care that women receive. So you could tell that every time this topic came up, Brenna Byrd quickly wanted to change the subject to the fact that women are not going to be criminally prosecuted. I think that, and Tom Miller probably should be talking about this issue a lot. This is an issue where it could be helpful to him in this election.
Laura, believe it or not, we are out of time. We've got 20 seconds. What do you expect this week? What are you looking for?
Oh, more campaign ads. I'm going to be working on the legislative races. I'm keeping an eye out for who are going to be the first Iowa House and Senate campaigns to really get out there and start advertising.
Laura works 24/7. She slept not at all last night. I want you to know this. And so she tells me this anyway. So and we are indefatigable on this broadcast. So we'll see you next week, Laura.
See you next week, Dennis.
You have been listening to Capital Week on KHY Community Radio. A reminder that the views and opinions expressed here did not necessarily reflect the opinions of KHY or its staff. Laura and I will be back in this same time slot next week, we promise, when we'll talk about everything interesting, important, or entertaining about politics, Iowa style. We hope you can join us. Until then, thank you so much for the privilege of your time. We appreciate it and we value it. Between now and next time, we hope you have a safe, healthy, and happy week.